And good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. I'm Kathy Lauren from the City of Brotherly Love. I'm filling in for your host, Marita. She won't be able to make it this evening, and we still have a busy night ahead of us to get started with our beautiful and lovely Angel Sue. We'll get started to bring in the, tune up the energies, change the energies. We welcome you, Angel Sue.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Welcome, Stargate Roundtable people. And we welcome you in the light of the most radiant one and in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. And we're invoking those loving energies of Saint Germain and the violet flame. And we're asking you now, after this chaotic week that we've had, many people have gone through some tremendous opportunities of learning, and I've been in one of those too as well. We're asking you all now to just choose yourself yet again as the divine daughter, the divine son that you are, and allow all the chaos, again, I'm saying that word, all of the noise, the endless loop thoughts, all the diversions, to just be there in your brain. But let your focus come down into your heart. The heart space is much deeper, quieter, slower, and more powerful. And so if you want to just take a nice deep breath, and if you want to pretend, imagine, or visualize that you're breathing from that heart space, just let unconditional divine love come in with each in-breath, and gratitude go out with every out-breath. And with your intention, let's put it on an autopilot that this is so. For all of the show, for however long you need it or choose it, and that this calm and peace can be running in its own program, along with all the things that demand your attention, and that things come quicker and more positive and with more peace and calm than you normally operate with. And let's look at our inside and see what we're finding there. We know we have these powerful words, high-frequency words, praise, respect, thanks, love, and I'm adding in a new one, adore. So instead of using the PIRTL, the praise, respect, thank, and love, short form word is PIRTL, we're going to make it PIRTLA. Or you can use the Ho'oponopono if you wish. But let's just celebrate whatever we're finding in this quick look-see. Start from the top of your head and see what energy patterns, see what's tight and restricted, whatever is flowing beautifully, what is going way, way too fast. And we accept it all with neutrality. And use that praise, respect, thanks, love, and adoration. Adore it. And just work your way down to the bottom of your feet. And let things clear and balance and harmonize and relax and release. Whatever is for the very best and highest good. And so with the concerns now that you find going on in your life, the situations, the opportunities for growth, let's just hold that in the background. We're going to address it in a bit. Think about what's going on for your friends and family and what you're hearing going on, perking up in the weather patterns with all this storm activity and the fire and whatever else that is happening that you're aware of, all the controversy, whether it's Mother Nature or whether it's humankind that's not always so kind. We're going to hold the energy for the white hats along with the black hats. We're going to hold the energies for all of these different things like Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, for our faction 3 White Knights and our galactic forces of light. For all those that are tied in with these massive changes, ourselves included. And we're just going to praise, respect, thank, love, and adore what's going on for every person, place, condition, thing, every situation, every condition, everything. And now we take our stand to hold this energy together using the law of one to recalibrate, to redo. So this is where we simply welcome in all the beings. Just call them all in. Our higher selves and all of our support teams, each and every other ones, every being, every kingdom, every dimension, every parallel, every potential, all of this. And this, we welcome all these beings bringing about this new shift into the higher dimension. And so we simply say to all of them as they continue to gather, we are all one. And when one is harmed, then all are harmed. Yet as one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only the highest good of all concern happen to ourselves and everything. And we give thanks that this is done with the perfect, divine, happy solution throughout all time and space, and in the office of the Christ. Our gratitude flows, and we say, so be it, and so it is. Now take a nice, deep, cleansing breath. And let that gratitude flow out even greater to every part of our planet, within, upon, and around it. And we're just simply going to close this portion of the meditation down by saying amen. All women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And with that, I'm going to share with you the three cards that are for our Stargate meditation for the next 7 days. We went through some chaotic times where we had to be the light, hold the light, and embrace even more light, a new day dawning within ourselves and throughout the planet. Now we're shifting the energies. And we first card is with blue, that beautiful midnight blue, and the gold stars. It's a doorway looking out into the stars. So the room is in blue, with the door is outlined in blue, but the sky beyond that door frame is just peppered with golden stars. It's the doorway card, or also known as the higher dimension. On the back it says, I open the door, and then step into a higher dimension. Simple, huh? We don't have to make it difficult at all. We just go. Now, the energies that we'll be embracing as we continue this adventure. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Okay. We have an Egyptian ankh with a cross emblazoned over it. The ankh is in gold, the cross is in white. It's the Archangel's card, also known as influence. This is another simple thing. On the back it says, I attune to the Archangel's energy for guidance. So call on those Archangels that you're familiar with, or ones that you're not, and let that intuition just open up as they illuminate your understanding and the outcome or the final gift. Here we have a little angel in gold, and she has a tiny little star floating above her head. Her wings are in solid gold, and she's releasing a clump of something from one of her hands. It's the card of release and let go. On the back, I let go of all that does not resonate with my true being. So it seems like we're crossing the threshold, and isn't it fabulous that we've got this full moon at the beginning of the month, and later on at the end of the month, another full moon? So we're on a journey for the next 7 days to go into the higher dimension, call on the archangels to illuminate us and guide us, and then release more and more of the three-dimensional selves, self that we are, and allow ourselves to soar and stretch our wings. So, Kathy, that's the message here, and it is on my Facebook page, the picture of the cards and what's written on the back. And you can find it at Sue Cummings Jeffers. That's my name, and on the Facebook page, and it's all there. So that's what I've got to share tonight, and I just thank you all and bless you and keep on shining bright. Kathy, thank you.
Oh, Angel Sue, I needed that little tune-up. Thank you so much for your energies that you bring forward every Thursday. We know our Sue Jeffers as Angel Sue, and that's what we call her affectionately. And so check out her Facebook, everybody. And so, of course, tonight we have Randy in the background from Thailand available for everyone, as well as Omina. And, of course, our Tara and Rama are here as well. And I'll be guiding our interview this evening with a lovely woman. She is not known to us, but we're about to get a wonderful psychic medium, compassionate, heart-centered guidance from Liberty Forrest, who's from Canada. So what I'd like to do when she comes in at the top of the hour, if anybody doesn't have a pen or a pencil, please grab one. I'd like to give you our United States and Canada call-in toll-free number. That's something you may want, because we'll be taking calls for you to ask her questions. And I think that's always a special joy for some of you to be able to get online and get some important questions answered from someone who's well-known to be able to bring that out. So that number, toll-free, is 888-429-5471. That's for the United States and Canada. And I know we have another one. I'm just looking real quick where that might be. Yes. And this is a regular line that you can call in as well. If you're not from the United States or Canada, you can dial the area code 323-744-4841. So the toll-free number one more time, 888-429-5471. At the top of the hour, we'll be having Liberty Forrest join us, and there will be a call-in time. So we're giving out that number, and the one that is not toll-free is 323-744-4841. So thank you for letting me bring that forth. I'm not sure who you normally bring in, whether it's Omina that goes first or whether it's Randy. You two can decide. Somebody say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Good to hear you. Omina, it's Kathy. You know I'm filling in for Marita this evening. So, welcome.
Thank you.
I have a little story to tell if everyone's ready.
We're ready.
Okay. I belong to a bunch of different cat forums as a form of my nightly entertainment with my cat, Simba. And one of the moderators of the forum passed away very suddenly. What was amazing to see was the outpouring of love from people that never met anybody in the physical world, but only in the digital world did they meet and share ideas and pictures of their cats and the love of the animals. But the love that was shown to the family of the moderator was absolutely unbelievable. And this is what I like to say is this shows you in a certain way how many people are getting into the heart energy and don't even know that they're doing it. And unfortunately, it took the death of someone very young, about 43 years old, to bring this about. But the outpouring of love was absolutely unbelievable. And the family has said that they can't believe that this has happened to them. The people from all around the world are writing them and sharing their condolences. So this is what heart energy does, people. If you stay in your heart, this is what will happen. You will feel the empathy of some soul leaving this plane, going to the next one. First, you'll feel the sadness because the life has been changed. but it's been changed into a higher frequency. Then later, you'll feel the joy because you know that person is now in the higher realms looking down upon us, guiding us as well. So namaste. Stay in your heart, folks.
That's wonderful.
I love that. What are you thinking of sharing this evening, Omina?
Oh, I was at my granddaughter's basketball. They were in a tournament, so I got here a few minutes late. But, you know, granddaughters come first.
They do indeed.
So that's where I was. But other than that, my heart goes out to your loss, Lorendi, and my heart goes out to the people in Florida. I'm very strong on that. The young people are great. They have a voice, and I hope they keep it.
Amen. And Randy, that was a sweet, sweet story, a sad passing, but isn't it funny how when someone leaves us, people come together. It's just natural. It's just the most natural thing in the world.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was actually beyond belief how many people in such a very short period of time changed their tune and had condolences
a lot of people have empathy when somebody passes. It's too bad that sometimes it takes that to move them.
Yeah,
but it's still good.
Yeah. But the whole forum, Randy, is for the love of the cats also. So they're just, you know, people who care about the innocents.
Yes, that's true. That's exactly true. That's exactly true. And it's good to see that there are, hundreds, thousands of people doing this and they're taking care of the animals, which means they're taking care of their environment as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do either one of you have anything you want to share before I bring Tara and Rama in? Is there something specific you had in mind?
I don't have anything.
Me neither.
Oh, we have a really bad hum, guys. I don't know where it's coming from.
I don't hear that here. Okay. Tara and Rama, let's talk to Rama for a minute. And I'm not sure whom you've been in contact this week, but we always look forward, I know every week, to what you've learned, who you've spoken to. So please step forward.
Greetings. Okay, now it went quiet again. We could hear that noise too. I don't know. It went quiet though now. That's good. All right. And thank you, Angel Sue. You always, somehow you find a way to take it higher. And the world needs that. And, thank you, Randy, for sharing that moment where people come together in those kind of times and the energies are continuing to go higher. So the more we can come together and love, the better.
Indeed.
Come a little closer, honey. Okay, so, Rama.
Yes.
Well, I'm just going to say this is kind of alarming, but we'll talk about what the people that Rama contacted said. But today, Putin addresses the Russian people. This was like at 3:30 this morning. I woke up and I was going to watch the Max Kaiser report, and instead there was Putin, and he had his State of the Union address.
Yeah.
And he addresses the Russian people, and he says the world will hear from Russia as his nation is threatened. A wake-up call from Putin. Let's see. The bear has woken up. He is sleeping no more. Putin delivered his State of the Union, State of the Nation, that's what it is, address today, and announced the Russians have a nuclear capability unlike anything else in the world. Putin is facing a possible re-election to a fourth term coming up on March 18th. 3 days after St. Paddy's Day, we better get that luck of the Irish moving here. Just want to remind everybody that Putin is a white knight, along with Mr. President Xi, along with President Obama. And this relationship has pretty much been going on for much longer than we can imagine. These guys have planned every step of the way of how to overthrow the cabal, the invaders. Okay, so Putin is facing this possible re-election on March 18th, and this is seen by some as a political knockout punch for the press. This is Ed speaking on the Ed Show. And the Russian Federal Assembly is sitting in front of him. There must be, I don't know how many people were in there, 1,000 at least.
At least.
Yeah. In a speech that lasted over 2 hours, President Putin spoke of a better life for Russians. Everything from infrastructure to faster internet service to life expectancy. In the teaching of a standard of living, he promised to increase spending on health care and transportation. Then came the alarm clock for the world. And this is Putin speaking. I should note that our military doctrine says Russia reserves the right to use nuclear weapons solely in response to a nuclear attack or an attack with other weapons of mass destruction against the country or its allies, or an act of aggression against us with the use of conventional weapons that threaten the very existence of the state. This is all very clear and specific. As such, I see it as my duty to announce the following. Any use of nuclear weapons against Russia or its allies, weapons of short, medium, or any range at all, will be considered as a nuclear attack on this country. Retaliation will be immediate with all the intended consequences. Then Ed comes in and he says, not only will Russia respond to aggression, Putin described an arsenal well advanced of anything seen on the planet. Using video, digital animation, the presentation illustrated a nuclear-powered cruise missile tipped with a nuclear warhead, coupled by underwater drones to be delivered undetected to anywhere on the planet. Then Putin speaks. The strategic missile troops received 80 new intercontinental ballistic missiles, 102 submarine-launched ballistic missiles, and 3 Boreite nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines. 12 missile regiments have received the new YARS, is what the word was. I'm not quite sure what that means. Intercontinental ballistic missile. The number of long-range hypersigit weapon carriers has increased by 12 times, while the number of guided cruise missiles increased by over 30 times. Then Ed speaks. He says, independent Russian military analyst Alexander Gold said, quote, this is an effort to scare the West. Many see this as a result of failed attempts for better relations with the United States. Then Putin comes on and says, now that the missile launching ground tests were successful, we can begin developing a completely new type of weapon, a strategic nuclear weapons system with a nuclear-powered missile. You can see how the missile bypasses interceptors. And then I showed the video doing it. I mean, it's like, you know, how these cars now, if somebody is going across the street and not paying attention and the car is coming, the car will stop, whether you're paying attention or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they've got for
smart
this.
Smart cars.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so a strategic nuclear weapons system with a nuclear-powered missile. You can see how the missile bypasses interceptors. As the range is unlimited, the missile can maneuver for as long as necessary. We made no secret of our plans and spoke openly about them, primarily to encourage our partners to hold talks, Let me repeat, this was in 2004. Nobody really wanted to talk to us about the core of the problem, and nobody wanted to listen to us. So listen now. Then Ed comes on and he says, the Kremlin has long stated dissatisfaction with the United States after the United States deployed missile defense systems in Romania and Poland. And that's as far as I got. That's enough. That's more than enough. I do in the this morning, at the end of his talk, Putin said that this has no intention of being on attack mode. What he said, and I can refer to, remember, Greg Braden. He worked for Lockheed Martin, and he was given an assignment in 1979 to create something called the Peacekeeper Mission. And that was a development. He developed the most advanced nuclear warhead in the world. And it took him 10 years. So in 1989, it was complete. And what it did is it gave us that at least they were – the reason that the assignment was made to stop World War III by at least 20 years. And next year, it'll be 30 years. In other words, 1989 – and guess what happened in 1989? The wall came down.
Yeah.
No more Soviet Union. Back to being Russia. 1989, 99, 09, 2019. That next year will be 30 years that that peacekeeper mission kept from World War III happening. Now Putin has just done the same thing in reverse. I mean, and we don't 100% know the whole story. Yet, Ra had some indications about something.
Yes.
I don't know how you could say it, but my idea is that, you know, we were told a long time ago that the Andromedans were contactees with Russia, with Putin. And this is a language that can be understood at this level. In case, and I mean, Rama's people are telling everybody that Mr. Grump wants to push the nuclear button. And he's getting very itchy fingers, and it's
because of the larger story of the hammer of Thor coming down on the criminality, corruption, money laundering, murder, rape, torture of the White House.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go to the most recent report, Rama, that Rama got a call today. Okay, just to finish, I'm sorry. Putin, in a nutshell, said that this is a deterrent. That this was developed, and we talked about it all back in 2004. This is a deterrent because, you know, Bush was going mad back then. And so Putin was talking about with his allies and all of his consultations with his people.
Yes.
That we need to, you know, we need to create a deterrent to being attacked by the United States because the United States is not rational. The power structure is completely irrational. And it's a good thing that Hillary didn't get in because this would have been more irrational than we can imagine in terms of that issue. Hillary's been wanting to nuke Russia for a long time. And that's something to understand that since 1991, at the deep state level, Hillary Clinton has been head of our CIA all the way through this. What does that mean? What it means is that we're talking about Henry Kissinger behind her. Henry Kissinger and the Clintons, Mr. and Mrs. Kissinger and the Clintons, they meet about once every 2 months for a couple of weeks. And they've been doing it since 1990s, all the way through. So this is something that people aren't quite aware of. So this is an up the ante of the galactic interventive modalities that are going on as well. Okay, so today, Rama got a call from the poppy lady, and she was in Afghanistan, and she had an Afghani woman on the phone with her, who, because she is an Afghani politician, and at the same time, a part of the underground network in Afghanistan, comprised of whistleblower civilizations who assist their people in need of food, water, medicine, shelter, clothes, friendship, counseling, comfort in time of war, etc. We have no name for her. The reason is that she is on a wanted list by the Taliban and by the United States military, meaning she is considered a terrorist by both of those parties. We will call her the Comfort Lady. She told Rama that she has met the Sasquatch people and has talked with them, and they told her that they are here to help heal this planet and her people by whatever means necessary. The Comfort Lady learned from the Sasquatch people that they came from Andromeda. So it's interesting because the Andromedans are behind what Putin is doing.
Yeah.
And here's this Afghani Comfort Lady says that the Sasquatch, Bigfoot people are from Andromeda as well. So these are Andromedan helpful efforts being made. Just to, on a galactic map, the Milky Way galaxy is directly opposite is the Andromedan galaxy. The Andromedan galaxy is like billions of times larger than the Milky Way galaxy. So we've got some help directly from the opposite galaxy to us. That's very amazing. And in terms of Barack Obama's galactic background, he's an Andromedan. And he came to Sirius B with Mother Sekhmet. Mother Sekhmet on her craft brought the crystal people from Andromeda,
yes,
along with Barack and some others, Pashats, of which Barack's a Pashat. They brought them to Sirius B in order to have a little negotiating going on, because the dark Syrians, which are called Setonians, have come to the earth here in underground places, and they're doing very naughty things here. So in the hierarchy of things, Sekhmet's people from Andromeda, the crystal people, and the Pashats had to come and monitor things from Sirius B. We got an echo. Okay. So anyway, let's go on here. The Comfort Lady learned from the Sasquatch people that they come from Andromeda, and through the Andromedan command, they are linked up with a global network of other galactic Sasquatch, all part of the intergalactic forces already here on the ground. The Comfort Lady said, Mr. Putin is aware of the Sasquatch people on the ground, and there are special FSB agents. That's the new name for the former name of this group called the KGB. And Rama, can you find out what that means? Because I forgot you were going to do that. Maybe you can find that.
Okay.
I'll continue reading. But anyway, so there are special FSB agents who are helping the Sasquatch people.
Federal Security Service.
Bureau. FSB, right?
Yeah.
Federal Security Bureau. That's another name for the KGB.
Yes.
It didn't go anywhere. Okay. So the Sasquatch people, these agents, the FSB agents, are helping the Sasquatch people worldwide at this galactic level. The Bigfoot people, along with the FSB, are taking the Khazarian dark forces all the way down globally. Then the Comfort Lady said, as we go through this dragon full moon, please send peace and love and high vibes and the violet transmuting flame to all the troubled spots on this planet. These are the good dragons, and they're breathing violet fire on situations that need it, not stuff that burns things down to the ground. But you might say those in that violet fire energy, as your heart's not working in the right direction, it's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the comfort lady said, I want you to know, Lord Rama, I am not just a comfort lady. I am a student of His Holiness, ancient, eternal, supreme, and future of days, Lord Sanat Kumara, and His Divine Consort, Lady Master Venus. She went on to say, I am here to see to it that the city of Shambhala the Greater is restored fully back into the earth, into the earth's care.
That's, yes.
And that Shambhala the Greater is anchored over the Gobi Desert. The desert basins of the Gobi are bounded by the Altai Mountains and the grasslands and the steppes of Mongolia on the north, by the Taklamakan Desert to the west, by the Hexi Corridor and the Tibetan Plateau to the southwest, and by the North China Plain to the southeast. Here Rama explains a little further for all of us. And he says Shambhala the Greater is first approached by coming to Shambhala the Lesser, which is on the ground.
Yes.
Shambhala the Greater is over this area, and Shambhala the Lesser is actually it's in the inner earth. It's in the Agartha network under the Gobi Desert.
That's right.
Okay, so that means the inner earth Lemurian network are working with Shambhala the Greater, which would be the hierarchy of heaven, for a lack of another term, the ascended masters. Okay, so you then go through a series of portals to get to the gates of the etheric physical light, city of Shambhala the Greater. Ram continued to explain that as our soul signature light frequency is recognized by the technology within the gates of Shambhala the Greater, you can then enter the city. One must be recognized. The amino acid computer technology recognizes your light signature as that of the office of the Christ. Then you can enter the gate. The comfort lady said, I have to go now. See you on the bridge, Lord Rama. Time to act. Shine your light. Spread the word to everyone. Connect with all the kingdoms, especially with the good dragons right now, as they are breathing this sacred violet fire to awakening, transmuting light. Indeed, it is a new day on March 1st, Dragon Full Moon Day, as March comes in like a lion, bringing with it the winds of change. We are indeed the ushers of the dawning of this golden age of Aquarius. Now, every moment, Nasara now, world peace now, Michelle for president now, Satnam, namaste, Lord Rama. What do you have to add to that, Commander? You tell our story about your dragon.
Oh my. I first met Ruth.
She's a winged white dragon from Atlantis.
Yes. I first met her in the royal courtyards of Atlantis, and she was tied up with chains. And
oh dear.
Yeah. She was part of those beings that were being used by the, you know, dark priesthood. I helped her escape. And after that, we went on adventures, you know, in the latter days of Atlantis, removing the dark royalty, to put it simply.
And what did you do with her?
I rode on her back, and she breathed the violet flame. And
not only that, she did some other things.
She destroyed many of the palaces throughout the capital city. And she and I both stood trial before the Solar Tribunal. And we were acquitted of our crimes at the time during the Orion War.
And then her assignment was to, she was assigned to Kauai.
Yes.
Kauai is a very, you know, it's the place where the Pleiadians, the first landing party mission to Earth, came from the Pleiades to Kauai and in the Kalalau Valley. So she was assigned to Kauai because that's where we came to this place first from the stars. So that she, her mission was to, sleep, you know, in a certain place, like a sleeping giant, you might say, underneath Kauai's Kalalau Valley.
She's about 75 feet long.
Oh, Ruth. My God, she's absolutely gorgeous. And we're going to put her in the newsletter. Everybody get to see her. But she's now back on assignment.
Yes.
She's now back on assignment. And this other place where Rama talked on Tuesday, I think, or was it Monday, Rama?
Tuesday, I saw on the road.
Well, no, that one, but the one right before that, when Tom the Cat told you regarding the portraits of Obama and Michelle, that there's some much deeper story going on with that, with those paintings, those portraits that don't meet the eye clearly to people.
What are you talking about, Tara?
Okay, you know that there was an unveiling of Michelle and Obama's portraits. Did you catch that?
No.
Oh, my. Yes, that happened around, I think, the 19th or something of February. And it was a total unveiling, and they are absolutely astounding.
So what's so unusual about them?
Oh, my.
You say there's a story behind it? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the artist.
Barack Obama's painting, he's in a garden. And he's sitting in a chair, and behind him is this garden. And there are different flowers. One is the night blooming jasmine for his place where he was born in Hawaii. The other ones are chrysanthemums because they are the flower of Illinois where he was living. And the third one is from it's an African flower because he's African in his background. And everybody that's been listening here knows that Malcolm X is his father.
Yes.
And his mission is to create the hyperdimensional change that we are going through right now. And so those pictures are nothing like any other paintings. I mean, you've seen all the other paintings. They look like, you know, they look like
portraits.
Yeah. And so the artist for this man, I mean, for Barack's portrait, he did some other paintings, and those are deep, deep, deep stories. And The stories about those other paintings go under something called poetic license. And there's two of them. And we've got a brother and a few other folks looking for the background more deeply. But Tom the Ringtail Cat's going even deeper. And anyway, on Monday, Tom the Ringtail Cat said, let's not go too far with this because people and the propaganda coming from the dark side is turning it into a really awful story. The point is that these other two paintings are biblical in terms of a black woman having a beheaded white woman's head in their hands. And they go back to biblical stories, and it has to do for sure with the takedown of the royal crown of England. And the stories about biblical stories about what those are about are going to be defined in the future. And it's got to do with decolonizing this entire planet on more than one level. You know that the Cabal, they're not human, they're reptiles. And they invaded Atlantis in the first time in the high middle period of Atlantis from Orion, from the Orion War, which did not end, and they brought the Orion War to Earth in the high middle period of Atlantis. And that war is still going on. What's that war about? It's about these reptiles wanting to take over the planet and use humans as their slaves. So the next layer of that is the assignment of the crown of England. This lady, the Queen Elizabeth II, her father is Noble Drew Ali,
yes,
who brought the Moorish Science Temple to the United States. He's black. And he went to England during an expo, and he was a juggler. And the Queen Mother took him to her boudoir and had sex with him, and that's the Queen of England's mother and father.
Yep.
And Noble Drew Ali came on purpose to the United States with this Moorish Science Temple to retrieve the Western Hemisphere. And he took this mandate to the Conference of the Americas in Havana, Cuba. And the entire Western Hemisphere's leadership were there.
This was right before the crash of 29.
1928, right. And he won the entire Western Hemisphere back to the people of the Western Hemisphere, all the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere. The Queen Mother stole it back.
Yeah.
And she just stole it. And so this is a big story when we're talking about dismantling the royal crown of England. And that's happening right now. We're going to learn a lot more. This is going to continue. But this is what we mean when we talk about Nasara, because we also got to remember that the Declaration of Independence, Saint Germain, showed up and you know, rounded up all the signees and said, yeah, your life is in danger. Yeah, you might be killed. You might be anything, because the Crown of England isn't going to let go of this as a colony. And it never did stop being a colony. It didn't happen. So this is why they call Nasara the Second Declaration of Independence. This is why this has taken such a long time. And this is why you're hearing things that are waking people up now. The rest of the world wants peace. You know, the United States has been the worst purveyor of violence on this planet to keep the colonization going, and having to answer to this colonization of the royal crown, having to answer to the overlords, meaning the archons and the warlords of Orion that are still here controlling this planet. They want to move in. They want to move the rest of us out as much as possible, except for those who will comply with their slavery.
And that isn't according to the ancient agreements that are in the Akashic Records.
those agreements ended and they didn't really honor those agreements, did they, Rama?
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, maybe this is a bigger story than we have time for. I mean, it's always a fascinating journey when we have these conversations. But we're just about here at the top of the hour, so I'll ask you to just say your final thoughts on all of that, and maybe we could talk about that another day.
Yes, okay, this is good. The painting that was done by a different artist of Michelle, and she's very famous, and she's well known for her gray tones of people's skin color, and that's a whole nother study, but it's connected with the Western Hemisphere, you know, retrieving its land, and that's got a bigger story because the indigenous people of the world have lost their land by this royal crown. So she's in a gray tone in her skin color, giving the message that she represents that unconditional divine neutrality of the violet flame, divine alchemy.
Yes.
Which means that this is the time when we go beyond the polarity game. So the next governance will be with the divine feminine, Michelle for president, and it will be in the unconditional divine neutrality of spiritual governance and universal economics. Then this whole corrupt system gets gone and we go to zero and debt jubilee and we start over, and the gold and the precious metals have been brought from other planets and star systems and sun systems. So we're going into universal galactic divine law. How's that for a completion? Well, ask Kathy, you
I
might
like
just,
it.
You might just
I love
know.
It.
Love it, love it, love it. Michelle.
I really do. And we thank you, as always, for your interesting dialogues and information that you bring forth from some very unusual places, for real. So we love you guys, and we thank you for taking the time to keep us on top of what's in your world every day. And we're going to look forward to more next week. So at this time, we're going to quickly, one more time, give the United States and Canada call-in numbers for our guest that's just about up here. Her name is Liberty Forrest. She's a psychic medium and an award-winning author, and she's just a heart-centered guidance on psychic, paranormal, anything, I guess. I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a minute. But here we go. The number to dial in, everybody, if you have questions, is 888-429-5471. That's in the United States and Canada. That's your toll-free number. And if you're elsewhere in the world, then we'll give you the station 2 number for BBS Radio to call in. And that would be area code 323-744-4841. And with that, we welcome you, Liberty, your first time in. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. That's a pretty warm welcome. It's my honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. We're excited that you're here. And, you know, we've had a lot of different people here, and you're brand new to us. So what is it that you feel led to share with us this evening, other than, you know, I want to ask you some questions, but I'll give you the time to give us a little background.
Oh, background. Well, on this specific topic, I guess I discovered these abilities as a psychic and medium when I was a kid, and dreamed that my two best friends were dead. And I woke up and I couldn't shake this horrible feeling while I was getting ready for school. And I went to the kitchen and sat down to breakfast. And it was the first thing I told my parents. And they looked at each other kind of like I must have had six heads. And without a word, my dad just got up, went around to the living room and brought back the morning paper and just plunked an article in front of me. And there it was. They were dead. They were killed in an accident. Their family was in a collision with a train. So that was pretty horrifying because it was back in the dark ages when there was nothing like this. And then over the years, long story short, as my abilities were developing on their own, eventually I started doing readings for people. And that's a huge part of who I am, and it's how I incorporate my social work background, did some work as a counselor, that sort of thing, and So I really like doing more like a guidance session with my readings rather than just the what I call disempowering prediction-based readings. You know, when is this or that going to happen? Well, when you make it happen, pretty much, you know? So I just think that's a waste of my abilities. I have so much more to offer with my life experience and my professional experience. So if somebody's struggling with life problems or circumstances and they feel stuck, it's kind of like having a laser-focused look. I can look, you know, psychically at what's really going on with a person and dig a little deeper. So it's kind of like saving them countless hours in a counselor's office because I can just zero in on the heart of the matter.
And boy, if that's not a perfect way to start the evening, I really like that because truthfully, I think a lot of us have grown past the what's going to happen when. I think we'd like to understand ourselves a little bit better and we don't see ourselves as clearly as we'd like. And others like yourself, I'm guessing, can, you know, get to the heart of the matter and provoke that healing in a new way. So I like that very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I agree with you. You know, certainly a lot of people are more interested in self-awareness and self-development, but there still are those people who just want to hear, when am I going to get the better job? Well, when you get off your backside and go find it. Or you get the really soul-destroying calls like, what's going to happen when his wife finds out? Well, it's going to hit the fan and he won't leave her anyway, you know? But, you know, I can't say that. But those kinds of calls are just, like I said, soul-destroying. They're pointless. And, you know, people are just looking for, they're desperate when they ask those kinds of questions. And I'm on this planet to serve and to help people transform their lives. And that's what I've spent my own life doing. And I'm still a work in progress. We always are, or should be, I guess, if we're going to, you know, be happy. So that's what I like to do with the abilities that I have. Of course, it's different when people want a reading for, like, to be connected with loved ones in spirit. That's a separate sort of a topic, and I love doing that. I love connecting people with loved ones. There's so much healing and forgiveness and comfort that can happen even beyond the grave.
Wow. Well, for real. And you've written an e-book, haven't you?
A new book?
An e-book.
E-book. I've written several books. I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but I've written.
I didn't know how many you had written, but if you'd like to share anything about those.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I've written several nonfiction books. One is about my self-healing journey. Actually, that one's getting revised at the moment, but I was critically ill for a long time and had a heart problem, quite significant, and various other things. And the short version is I healed it myself after I sort of ran out of options and got frustrated. And I've been well now for 6 years. I've never been healthier. So that's a whole other show for that one. But and then I have some other inspirational books that are kind of like the chicken soup style books with short, you know, sort of blog posts type entries that are inspiring and uplifting. I've done a couple of inspirational coloring books, done the art for those as well, and they have at least one full page of inspiring text to go with each one. And I've done some paranormal thriller fiction. There's a series with a free novella you can get on a couple of my websites, and then three novels that go with it, following a family through the 50s with their spooky paranormal adventures. I've lost track. I think there's something else. I'm not sure.
Well, I would say to everybody that if you want her free ebook, is it still correct to go to www.booksbyliberty.com?
Yes, ma'am. They can get it there. It's called Grave Truths.
Oh, and you can connect with her on Huffington Post and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, everybody. But let's start with, what's the difference? These are questions that you had laid out for me when I said, what are good questions to ask you? And I'm really liking what you laid out here. What is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Thanks for asking that one out of the ones I sent, because there's a lot of misconception about both. To be psychic means that you're tuning into the energy of a person, an event, a building, you know, something like that that's, I'll call it earthly, if you know what I mean by that, something sort of here, or the past, but again, that'll be connected to a person you're talking to or a place or something like that. To be a medium means that you are connecting with spirit, spirits, loved ones in spirit. So that requires being at a much higher vibrational frequency than being psychic. So all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
Wow, that makes perfect sense, really.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy.
And how did you know you had these abilities? I mean, you knew when you were very young that you could tune into forces. Obviously, you had a connection, a heart connection with these two young girls. So it clearly was available to you because there was a heart connection, but you developed it over time. And how did that roll?
Well, that was actually quite frightening. It was bad enough to discover that I knew that my two best friends were dead. That was horrible enough at you know, as a kid. What do you mean kids die? That can't happen. How is this possible? And it's them. It was horrible. And then the other piece of that was, and how on earth did I know about it? How did I have that dream? That was so frightening. And I just kind of, after that though, it was like the floodgate was opened. I suspect that there were probably other things that I would have experienced but maybe brushed off or not been aware of because I grew up in a really toxic, frightening environment. Home was not a safe, happy place, and I was just sort of in survival mode. But that event was big and in my face, and I couldn't miss it. So over the years following that, all of a sudden, I mean, even within the next few weeks, things began to happen. I just knew things that later turned out to be the truth, or I'd start to feel like there was something wrong for someone that I knew, and I'd find out that was the truth. So I knew things. I started having more dreams and more experiences when I was awake, and it just kind of evolved by itself. And I continued to be afraid because, as I said before, this was before there were psychic fairs. There was no John Edward on TV, or, you know, there was none of this. There was no Long Island medium. There weren't mind, body, spirit expos. It wasn't a thing, so to speak. So it was pretty scary for a long time. And then I think I was about in my early 20s when someone I knew and respected told me that it meant I'd been possessed by Satan. Well, I'd never believed in Satan until that moment. And then I thought, oh my goodness, what if she's right? What if that's true? And then I was really frightened. I didn't know what to make of this. So, because again, it wasn't a thing. People weren't talking about it. I didn't have anywhere to really go with it. But it kept happening, and another couple of years after that, I guess it was probably about that time, mid-20s maybe, somewhere along the way after a bunch more of these events where I knew that someone had died and that the dreams were starting to become clearer and more specific, and it was involving people who weren't necessarily connected to me, maybe to someone I knew, but not directly to me. So it was obviously developing. And somewhere in the middle of that, I realized it was a gift, not, as one of my daughters put it a couple of years ago, not a gift for me, but a gift for the people who are meant to get a reading or meant to hear the message that's passed along. So I didn't actually develop it. It kind of developed on its own over time. And then eventually I did start kind of working on it. But yeah, just kind of, it's obviously a part of who I am. It just grew as I did.
Well, was there something that happened that allowed you to recognize that it wasn't a satanic-based information? I mean, what made you, how did you cross that line?
I'm not actually 100% certain of how the light went on, but I do remember, because this person that I respected had said this to me and had quoted something from the Bible about it. I forget what it was. I think it was in the book of Deuteronomy. And I thought, right, I'm going to read this Bible then. She's like, oh, you don't need to read the whole thing. I said, yeah, I really do. If you're going to tell me that's what's going on, I got to read this whole book. So I did. I started at the beginning. I read the entire thing. Oh, and also she'd said, because I had seen psychics, Well, I'd only gone, I think, once, but because I'd done that, because I did yoga and some other things, all of that together, that somehow had to do with leading me to having been possessed by Satan. And it was based on something in Deuteronomy. So I start reading the Bible, and I'm in Deuteronomy, and I'm looking at all these other laws. It says something about not seeing soothsayers or something like that, basically fortune tellers. But I looked at all these other laws in Deuteronomy, same book, and there were all these things about, you know, sacrifices and like blood, guts, and gore that we don't do anymore. So I thought, oh, well, if she's going to pick this one law out of this book and tell me, oh, that one's absolutely rigid, right, but oh, the other ones don't matter, I don't think this counts. So it's kind of, that's actually, you know, I think it took a while for the fear to completely go, for me to kind of hope that there still wasn't something about possession. But that, I remember, was sort of the turning point of thinking, well, if that's all you're relying on, then nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's pretty frightening in and of itself, but you worked yourself through it. You read the whole gosh darn Bible.
I did, start to finish. It's a pretty violent book. Holy smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you receive information. How do you receive it? Do you get pictures? Do you get, how does that work for you?
Well, I'm one of the lucky ones. I get it in all sorts of ways. I get, I'm clairvoyant, so I see things. I'm clairaudient, so I hear things. I'm claircognizant, so I know things. I'm clairsentient, so I feel things. So, in fact, it can be some of those in one reading, and it can just flip from one to the next in a split second. For example, I might have a spirit talking to me. I might start hearing words. I'm seeing a form, an image, and a general idea what this person looked like, or maybe a piece of clothing that's important, as happened the other day when I was talking to a friend, and her grandmother popped in her mother popped in for a visit. Anyway, or I might just feel what they felt, which can be really awful if they died a painful death or if they died a tragic death or something. But it can also be good things, because I can then feel the love that they have for the person I'm sitting with. So it's a combination, and it can flip from one to the next where they've been talking, and then all of a sudden they stop using words and they show me something. Or then I feel something. So it's a bit of everything. Kind of a psychic stew.
What a gift, really. What an incredible gift. I'm really amazed by that. Okay, I have a couple of more questions here. And I guess one of the things that people are concerned about or worried about is if when they meet you, that you might know things about them that they wouldn't want you to know, like private things. Should anybody ever worry about such things like that?
Well, not with me, but there are people who will, as I like to call it, psychically spy on others. And that's really not an ethical thing to do. It's a significantly unfair advantage, which it's just disrespectful. It just violates people's boundaries, and I don't think it should be done. But I do know that there are some people, like in every profession, you'll find lawyers who aren't very nice and some who are wonderful. You'll find doctors who are real pinheads and other ones who are fabulous. Same thing in the psychic world. You'll find some who are ethical and have integrity about using this ability, and then there are the other ones who maybe aren't doing so well with that. But, you know, I often find that when I meet people, when they find out that this is not just what I do, but I guess who I am, I get two questions, usually one of two questions immediately. The most common one is, oh, what do you see around me? And I really don't like that question because I'm not working, you know, I'm not tuned in, and I mean, I might pick stuff up, but that's like having a plumber over to your house for a party and saying, oh, by the way, you want to come and fix my bathroom sink? You know, it's not fair. We're not always working. But the other question you occasionally get is, oh no, what do you know about me? You can't see anything. Can you tell what I'm thinking? And then that you can see, they just get really defensive and they just don't want you to know. I always wonder about that. I think, well, what are you so afraid of? And what are you hiding? What is the big concern about somebody knowing something about you? But no, I certainly would never do that. And it's like distance healing or all kinds of things where people just, I see that a lot on Facebook where people are saying, they're sending healing to everybody. And I think, hang on a minute. Don't be sending it to me. I don't need it. I don't want it. You're messing with my free will. Like, stop that. Yeah. There is, you know, it's just taking away somebody's right. I wouldn't go there.
Well, I think that's just a little immaturity, although it comes from a good intentional place. It's just people don't recognize that they're invading in that way. They're not fully aware that that's what they're doing. They're just trying to be kind and sweet and project the love that they know that they're taking in and they want to share it, but they just don't recognize, I guess.
Yeah, that is a different thing than the other thing, but it's just the same. I'm really particular about boundaries, I guess, because I grew up in a place where I didn't have any. I wasn't allowed any. So that's a kind of a tender spot for me, is just really being mindful and respectful of other people and what they might need or want. So no, I definitely am not a psychic spy.
I like that. Well, let's take a minute before we gather everybody on the phones, or hopefully we can get everybody to start calling in and, ask any questions that they might have. But let's hear from you about some of the things that have really impacted your life with these gifts. I mean, you must have a very rich experience of gifts and impactful things that have happened, knowing that you can go into these deeper places. Tell us something about that.
Well, thank you for asking that one. It certainly, as I said at first, it was really terrifying. So that was a huge impact. I got so that I was almost afraid to go to sleep, because usually the dreams about someone being dead happened. I mean, the information about someone's death happened when I was asleep. When I was awake, it was other disturbing things, but not usually about someone's death. Oh, actually, and I remember the first time that happened, though. I'd spent the better part of 2 days. It started early on late Saturday night, early Sunday morning hours, feeling anxious and sick and distracted. It was like, the only way I can describe it is like there was static in my head, like when you don't quite have a radio station tuned, you know, you get that fuzzy, awful. It was like that in my head all day Sunday. It distracted me. While I was, goodness, I used to be church organist and choir director. That still makes me giggle. I'm far removed from who I am. But anyway, I was distracted through church, and I was distracted through the rest of the day trying to work, and it was awful. And then all day Monday, same thing kept happening. And then suddenly at 6 o'clock, it stopped. And Sunday had actually been Father's Day. And I took my father out. It was the only time we ever did anything for Father's Day, just us. And I was so sick and distracted, I had to leave. So I remembered that it was Father's Day. Like, there was no forgetting that this particular event happened on that Sunday and Monday. And then at 6 o'clock-ish on Monday night, it was just like, it stopped immediately. And a few months after that, it was October, I ran into the friend, or the brother of a young man I used to live with and really cared about. And I asked his brother how he was, and then there was this odd silence. And it turned out that he had committed suicide early on that Sunday morning, and in quite a violent fashion. But his body wasn't found until Monday around 6 o'clock, when his former roommate showed up after work. So that was, I knew immediately, because it was Father's Day, and I remembered feeling like that. So
yeah,
it has at times affected me in that way. So it affects my physical life. It's not so much like that now, because it's developed, it's different. But when I was still just sort of going with the flow and it was just happening, this is the sort of thing that I would deal with. And it was really unpleasant. It's also made me really sensitive to other people's energy. Again, I'm better at kind of keeping myself protected from that, but I can only do so much. I'm still very much like a sponge. So I can be out just walking through a mall or walking down the street, and if somebody passes me and they've had a really bad day, I feel like I've been slammed by a bag of bricks, and it's not very pleasant. Also, though, I can also pick up really positive energy. So if somebody's having an especially fabulous day or feeling really wonderful, I also get a hit of that, which is really nice, but that doesn't happen as often. And I really loved when I was living in England for a long time, I did about monthly psychic phone-ins on the BBC, like this kind of show where people can call in and or text and email questions. And from that, I used to get hired to go to people's homes and get rid of nasty spirits. I always thought that was so much fun. That was just the coolest thing. So I'd pack up my cauldron and my altar and my wand and all my potions and stuff, and away I'd go somewhere in England and get rid of these horrible entities in various people's homes. And it was really a cool job. I mean, some of the things I saw were amazing. There was one family where the house forced the family onto one side of it every night. As soon as it got to be dusk, one side of the house felt so overwhelmingly creepy and threatening, they all just stayed on the other side of the house, and they ended up all sleeping together, not just in the same room, but the parents and the two little boys were all in the same bed because it was so creepy. And there was one time when this thing was, it pitched the littlest boy out of the bed, landed him several feet away, and he had cuts on his face. That's when they called me. So going into homes like that and picking up what I can about the energy, that certainly impacts me as well. But I always thought it was fun, which some people thought was really weird. But I rather liked it. Kind of a cool job.
That's an interesting thing. And I think with the other situation where you were feeling just horrendously horrible for that 3 days, again, where you had a heart connection, you know, the cords weren't completely cut. You felt that so clearly. Something was that wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Because of a heart connection you had with that person, just like those two little girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they know who is a channel, I guess. And I mean, it's been other people too. Like I remember, probably a few years before that when I had a dream about someone that it was my youngest daughter at the time was in daycare, and it was one of her daycare teachers. And I had this really peculiar dream, and you know, she's dead and she's trying to get a message to her husband and she's with her father. And I didn't understand what this was all about. Why would I have a dream about her? Got to the daycare that morning and found out she'd been killed in a car accident the night before. And I found out that her husband didn't believe in this sort of thing, which is why I guess she'd have to go through someone else to get a message to him. And her father was in spirit, so that made sense to why she was with him. But I liked her, but I didn't have that same heart connection. So, and that was fairly early on when this was developing. So it was just weird. It could be anybody. But yeah, when it was a heart connection, it was especially awful. And there have been a bunch of those where I've sort of sat up, you know, in bed suddenly and gone, oh no. And I know it's a certain person. And then I phone and I find out, yep, they're gone.
So I guess your own family that might have passed can connect with you easily as well, right?
Weirdly, no.
And no.
That's I shouldn't say weirdly, because that's common for a lot of mediums. I can certainly feel some of them with me. Mostly my two dads. I was adopted, but I have met some of my birth family. I never actually met him, but because he died a long, long time ago. But I can feel him. I can feel my dad and a couple of other people now and then, but generally not. If I want a reading, I usually have to go to another medium. But that's not uncommon for mediums. Yes. Because can you imagine being connected with all of your own energy and energetic connections and possibilities all the time? It would just be too much, so thank God. It isn't like that, but it's been also, when you were asking about how has my life been impacted, sometimes it's really weird things, like embarrassing things, for example. I remember being in a pub in England, sitting there having my glass of wine, and I was suddenly drawn to a young man who I saw walking from the bar with his pint across the room, and he sat down at his table, and I knew I had to go and give him a message. And I thought, oh, for God's sake, no, please don't make me do this. I don't want to do this. I don't know who this is. But it was like in my face, I had to go and do this. And by then I'd learned if something comes up and you have to share a message, then, you know, you're not supposed to edit, just do it. So I gathered up all my courage, walked across the room. I mean, this was my local pub, right? So people knew me. I didn't know him, but he was a new person there, but I kind of had a reputation, you know, they didn't want them thinking I was completely nuts. Anyway, yeah. I walked over and I said, oh, excuse me, this might sound a little weird, but, and then I kind of hesitantly said what I had to say. I was a bit worried about it being a man as well. Women are more receptive generally. He was though, and he kind of, I wouldn't say he burst into tears or anything, but I could see there was a lot of emotion on his face, and he thanked me, and he said it was a really important message that he really needed to hear. So I was like, oh, okay, that was just more confirmation.
Yeah, and rewards. That's a reward.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I ever really told anyone, there's a spirit standing next to you, and it was a friend, and I had been having this experience for years where I sometimes would see a spirit next to someone and I'd think, well, I don't want to say anything because if I do, they're going to cry. You know, I can't bring up the fact that there's a dead granny or mother or whomever here. It'll make them cry. It'll upset them. But it kept happening. And this one particular time, this little old lady in spirit was really being pushy. And I knew I had to say it. So I very hesitantly said, well, there's this little lady. And I described her and I said what she was saying to me. And it was for, it was this woman's grandmother, I think. And again, it was so well received. And yes, there were tears, but it was good. You know, this person was so grateful for this reading and to know that her grandmother was okay. And whatever the message was relevant. And then I went, oh, okay, I get it. This is a good thing. Tears are okay. It's a good thing. This is healing. This is comforting. Oh, that's why I'm supposed to do this. Okay. And then after that, it was much easier.
So it's quite a gift. I mean, it makes people cry. It makes people move into their heart. It makes people wonder. It makes people see more clearly. And I'm sure wake up on many levels.
It usually does. I did have another kind of interesting, excuse me, coughing here. Sorry. It's very dry here in Calgary. Ugh, it's awful, super cold and dry. When I was living in England, there was a journalist I met who thought this was all a load of rubbish. And he'd been to loads of these psychic evenings or clairvoyant evenings, they used to call them, where a medium was on stage and obviously kind of feeding off the audience's information. So he thought it was all nonsense and he wanted me to prove it and to prove that I had these abilities. Well, I'd never had to prove it to anyone and it was a lot of pressure. I'd never done it professionally at that point in a particularly big way, just kind of, you know, readings for people here and there sort of thing. And he challenged me. He'd had a book called Who's Buried Where in Northamptonshire, which is where we lived. It was sent to the paper where he worked for someone to review. And he said, so let's go to one of these, you know, I'll pick a random grave. Let's go to that grave and you can come up behind it so you can't see the headstone. You won't get any information about who's there. And just see if you could pick anything up. I was scared to death. I've never done anything like this. And I thought, oh, for Pete's sake, not only do I have to prove that I can do it, I sort of have to prove that anyone can, because he just thought it was all nonsense. And I had no idea how this was going to go. But, you know, the blessing in it, too, was that I hadn't lived in that area for more than a few years, and I didn't really know who's who in terms of these famous or infamous people, as the case may be, in this book. So we went to the first one, and right away I started picking up information, and I always got it. Either the answer was yes or he didn't know, because there was only maybe a half a page or a page of information about each person, or a little bit more maybe. So some of the information he didn't know, but as he put it, I never got it wrong. It was always yes or it wasn't in the book. But sometimes I remember being confused and saying, oh, I can't tell. It feels like there's a man and a woman in here. I can't decide. And he said, well, it's both, which was weird because I didn't know people did that. they do that a lot in England. But that was kind of fun. That became our Saturday night fun thing to do. We would go, he'd find a grave and away we'd go. We always called it ghost hunts. And then, usually go to a pub after for some wine, and quite often the information would still keep coming as I was sitting there. So that was kind of fun.
Mm.
And he was a believer very quickly after the first one, he was so impressed. He's like, oh my gosh, you couldn't have known all this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the inner workings of a clock, for example, on the first one. And it was the man who invented the Greenwich Mean Time clock.
It was
Yeah, things like that. Or there was a young man who drowned, and I saw Bibles everywhere, and it was a 19-year-old young man who started a monastery. So and he drowned. It was right from the first one. He was a believer, so that was fun.
Wow. I want to take a minute in the middle of our effort here to give the audience your website. Let's give them how they can contact you, anything that you feel is pertinent to allow anyone who may need a reading or have questions or be interested in you in any way. How would they contact you?
The easiest one that I don't have to spell is info@yourstoryofhope.com would be the email, and obviously the website is yourstoryofhope.com, and that'll tell you a bit more about who I am and a little bit about my background and what I'm like. And I've been doing just started a few weeks ago doing weekly, monthly, and now daily psychic readings for all the zodiac signs on YouTube. I'm having so much fun with those.
No kidding.
Yeah, who knew it could be such a riot? But it's fun. I'm loving it. So yeah, I've been doing those. I've gone from, like, I think I had about 1,500 views on a couple of songs I recorded to somewhere near 14,000 now in 3 weeks.
Wow! So you just go to YouTube under Liberty Forest. That's it.
Yeah, Liberty Forest Psychic Medium. And actually, there's a link to it on Your Story of Hope right at the front when you the homepage. There's a link to my YouTube channel. But yeah, those are lots of fun, and the comments I'm getting are about how accurate they are. So it's just been an interesting kind of experiment for me, because I've never done that before, and it's been going really well with great feedback, and people are finding it's giving them a lot of insight and something to kind of guide them through the day or the week or the month. So that's been lots of fun.
So I'm wondering if it matters whether it's Western astrology. Yeah, I guess it does, because some of us are liking the Ayurvedic astrology, which for me would put me into the Cancer, and the Western astrology would put me into Leo. So I guess they have to be clear about what, I guess they just go to what they know. They don't ask you. They go to the sign that they believe they are, right?
Yeah, I guess. I suppose it would fit with either one. But yeah, just, and I don't, you know, I'm not an astrologer, but I know something about it, and it's enough that I can tune into the signs. And it's like anything else, connecting with a complete stranger doesn't really matter. I'm tuning into that energy. And, yeah. And readings are very much about, they're not long. They're just little short ones, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes, 7 minutes long, depending. And they are very, typical of me, heart-centered. They're very much about a lot of them are very much about emotional things that are going on, or how to navigate something, or where there might be stresses coming up, or it's kind of like a theme rather than a detailed reading. Yeah. It's just, again, it's a kind of a theme of something that's going on that day, that week, or that month. But it's been
When is your birthday? I'm curious.
My birthday was last Saturday, February 24th.
Oh, I love that. So you're a Pisces, or is that, no?
Yep, I am Pisces. Yeah, I am so Piscean.
I love that.
But I also have, I have Virgo rising, and then my moon is in Taurus. So I think it's interesting that I have Virgo rising, because it's the complete opposite end of the zodiac from Pisces. And when I found that out several years ago, I thought, oh, that makes so much sense, because that was when I was first getting into astrology. And I understood then why there's this very Piscean side of me that's really changeable and spontaneous and fluid and go with the flow, and, you know, routine sucks. And then there's this other part of me that just, yeah, you kind of have to nail me down for a routine. But there's this other part of me that's super organized. I love to be organized, and really like detail, and certain things really need to be done a certain way. Not everything, but certain things. And I thought, how weird that I have these seeming contradictions. But then I understood, oh no, they're just two aspects of who I am. And interestingly, they're very complementary, because they give me both ends of the spectrum.
Right.
And everything in between. So it's actually, it gives me balance.
And of course, you were saying they're directly opposite each other. So anybody who's looking at the wheel of astrology, wherever you may be sitting, for me, it would be Leo. For you, it's Pisces. Directly across from you is your house of natural partnership. So you have your natural partnership right in your own sun, moon, rising there. Interesting. Two Earths and one Pisces. Fascinating.
Okay, I have no idea what you just said, but okay. It was interesting.
Well, it's just, you know, your house of natural partnership is Virgo, because that's what's directly across from Pisces, right?
Okay, I just never heard it called that. That's where it's interesting. So
Yeah. Interesting for me to hear that. So anyway, I love that. We do have a question for you from, is that you, Tara, that's asking? I'm not sure who's asking the question, but go ahead. You have the floor to ask.
Thank you, Kathy. It's me, Randy.
Okay.
Wow. Liberty, I'd like to give you a lot of heartfelt thanks for what you're doing for the group here. And I can concur with what you went through as a child, seeing your friends die, because that's exactly what I seen when my father died. And back in those days, you didn't talk about that stuff. You didn't bring anything up. And it was only a few years ago here that I told my sister about it. And it was quite interesting to hear her side of the story of what she felt during that time as well. But the question I have for you, Liberty, is earlier in the show, I made an address to a person that passed away on a forum. So, and her name is Jo. I'd like to know if she has any messages for us.
I'll tune in and just have a look and see, but I just want to say how sorry I am for what you went through with your father, that whole thing, and then keeping that to yourself for such a long time. Gosh, yeah, that's. But yeah, I get what you mean about having to not see. Nobody talked about it. Nobody said anything, and that was really hard. But boy, you carried it for. You said it was just a few years ago you finally brought it up to someone.
Yes.
Wow, that's a long time.
I carried it for over 20 years, and then. When I was talking to my shaman friend, my father contacted me, and that was a lot of healing in that conversation.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you got to that point. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, I'll see.
Do you need the lady's last name, or her first name is okay?
Nope. I'm just going to see if I can tune in and pick up something from Joe.
Thank you.
See if I've got, okay, this. I just want to make sure I've connected with the right lady, so I'll just tell you what I'm picking up.
Okay.
She seems to be quite, the first word that I get about how I feel around her is warmth. There's a lot of warmth around this lady, and huge kindness, like really deep kindness. Does it sound like her?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Don't give me too much information. I thank you for just giving me yes and no, or I don't know. That's good. All right. I also get with her a really big smile. Like there's just, she's a pure light. I love this lady already. I just love connecting with her energy. And she has a wonderful sense of humor. There's a lot of lightness around her as well. She's giving me some indication that you've been dealing with some kind of a decision. There's something that you've been contemplating, something where there's sort of like two roads or turning point or something like
that. Yes, yes, that's true.
Okay. And she says very clearly, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. And she's also talking about it not necessarily being the easier road, but she says to follow your heart. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it sure does. Thank you.
You're welcome. She also says she loves you dearly. That's how she put it. And she says she's never far away, so she loves it when you talk to her.
Oh, that's quite something. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. That's from her. What else, Joe? Anything else? She wants me to give you a big hug. She's showing me hugging you, holding you, and just, like, it's very reassuring. Anything?
Yeah, well, I'll return that big hug to her for sure.
Okay. She'll be happy with that.
The other question is, I've been suffering a lot of lower back pain lately, and a friend of mine just texted me this morning, and she said she'd just seen her and I in a previous lifetime where we were crushed by rocks and ice in some kind of an altercation. Can you give me any insight? Is that why this lower back pain's happening?
Well, first of all, I have to say I don't like to do health readings because that can lead to, I'll tell you what I feel about it, but I don't want to, like, it's health related, so you need to see a professional. Okay. I just have to
say
that.
I know where you're coming from.
Thank you. But I can tell you what I'm sensing around it. And for me, it feels more to do, and it doesn't mean it isn't what this other person said. It could be that as well. But what I'm picking up is more around a feeling of being a bit overburdened or like too much responsibility or feeling a bit weighted down. Like overburdened is the word that keeps popping up. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, because it feels absolutely. Like it's about that. And if you can, I also feel like there's a, you're taking on more than is absolutely yours. You got a bit of an, how can I be delicate about this? What the hell? I'll just say
it. Just go say it.
I try to be respectful about these things, but I just feel like there's an issue there with boundaries where you struggle to say no. You're struggling to say, no, this is yours. You know, you do this. I don't want to take everything on, but you keep taking on and taking on and taking on. Does this make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, stop that. There you go. Because if you can draw a boundary around yourself and say, look, this stuff's my responsibility over here, and this is yours, because it just feels like you keep doing things for people that they could do for themselves because you are so kind. And there's, you know, but it doesn't do you any favors. And now you've got this situation where it's affecting your physical health. So I would strongly recommend, I'll put it that way, that you maybe be a little bit better at taking some vitamin N, as I like to call it, which is saying no.
Okay.
And let people do some of their own stuff. Delegate. You can delegate more. You know, it's okay. Other people can do it too, even if it isn't done exactly the way you'd like it, whatever it might be. And yes, I know you're super kind and you want to help and make things easier for the people you love and care about, but it's not helping you. And some of them are not appreciating it as much as they could. So why would you make yourself sick for it or put yourself through pain for it? So this is what I'm getting about this issue that you're having. So I would hugely recommend that you start being more, more mindful of what you need, because this is another thing. I feel like there's a real suppression there, feels like it's heavy in my chest. I just feel like I'm suffocated a bit because there's just too much on me. You know, that's what I'm picking up about you. But this feeling of, like, I'm almost suffocating under, there's too much for me to do. And that's certainly not going to help you enjoy your life or be able to be your best to do whatever it is you're meant to do in the world. So learning a little bit more about how to say no and put things back in the other person's lap or let people take care of themselves a bit more, this is really going to help you and your back.
Well, thank you, Liberty. It's been excellent. And thank you from the heart. And
my pleasure.
I enjoy hearing more from you. Namaste.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be of some service. So let me know how the back goes, okay? You can send me an email.
Okay, sure. Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye.
Thank you, Randy. That was very interesting. We do have Big Will on line one, so we will give you the talking stick, Big Will.
Thank you very much. I sure appreciate it. By the way, I, too, am a Pisces individual. My birthday was on last Saturday, the 24th.
Same here. Yay. Aren't we great? We share a birthday.
We do share a birthday. I do want to know, when do the people delegate and give responsibility to each other?
I don't understand your question, sorry.
When is enough is enough?
I still don't quite know what you
Come
mean.
Come on, Big Will, be specific.
A good example, when will people learn? For example, the 17 shootings.
Well, that's one of those big questions. I don't think there's an answer for that one. And that's, you know, we're talking individuals here. I can talk about individuals. You know, people are people. They're always going to be people. They're always going to be rotten people, or I shouldn't say that, people doing rotten things to each other. And it would be wonderful if there was a simple answer like, well, we're all just going to go and live happily ever after at some point. But nobody has
that
the answer.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be wonderful. It's
that
so distressing.
Nice. But we know that the time is long and also the time is short. So what I want to say is this. I'm going to get to my point. When would we have an affair?
When would we? I didn't hear you.
He's talking about NASARA, and we don't know that she does know what that is, but NASARA is the National Economic Security and Reformation Act that was signed by President Clinton at the time, and it's been sealed. So is that something you know anything about?
Zero, zip, nothing. Nope, no idea. I heard you talking about it in the earlier section, but I was still running around doing things, getting ready, so I didn't hear the whole conversation. But I don't have the answer to that. I can answer, you know, I suppose everybody has their different gifts. That is not mine. I'm better at people, you know, like dealing one-on-one with people or spirits, because, of course, they're people, they just don't have bodies. So, you know, something that's more specific to you or your life or someone you know or someone you care about or someone in spirit. That's the sort of thing I do. Okay. I can't answer the questions for the whole world.
Okay, my question is this. It's particularly with me. What is my next move? Will I be relocated?
Okay, just let me take a second here to tune in. I've got two things popping up. One is May, one is October. So, or possibly September, somewhere in there, autumn. And it feels like there is movement happening there, so I'm not sure whether maybe you hear about it in May and then you do it in September-ish, October. Would that make any sense if it was like that? But it's two parts. There are two steps to this. Does this make sense?
Yes. Yes, I okay. totally agree with that. Yes, I do agree with that, yes.
Okay, because I do feel movement, and I also feel like it's really positive for you. It feels as though...
Yes, it is very positive.
I feel like I've been stuck in quicksand for a long time, and my legs feel heavy, and I'm not able to get where I'm trying to go, and I'm slogging through and just stuck, and nothing's moving, and now I feel like there's this movement about to happen for you. It feels really good. And a very positive thing.
I totally agree with that because that's something I was anticipating in doing. So I am going to make a move, and it probably will be May, June, July, August, sometime in that direction.
Wonderful. Then maybe that by autumn is when you're settled, or maybe it's between those 2 months. But I did see those 2 months stuck popping up as relevant, so maybe it's between. No, I feel like May is significant. May is maybe when you get the news. May is when you make the decision. May is when something starts.
Very good.
And then by
I was anticipating May. Exactly right.
Okay, and then you know it's either happened or it's happening by September, October, late September, kind of in there, or you're settled by then, but that's the other piece. It's like part two, step two, next bit, something like that. So those two time frames are significant, and it's a really good thing for you. No more quicksand for you. You get to move again.
Very good.
And it's
Thank
not
you.
Just
I
like
so
a physical
appreciate that.
It's not just a physical move. It feels like when I say stuck in quicksand, it feels
it's
like
a,
it's more
right,
a
right.
personal.
Right.
Sorry?
It's called rebirth.
Yeah, it's like you've been stuck on a personal level, and now things are moving in your personal life as well as a physical move. So you won't be feeling
yes,
stuck
exactly.
in bye-bye to the quicksand. It's all good.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I sure appreciate you.
You are welcome. I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Big Will. If there's anybody on the panel here, Tarm Rama or Omina, if you have any questions for Liberty, feel free to step in.
This is Omina. Oh, there's an echo.
I'll mute out. Go ahead, Omina.
I'm a Pisces too.
Oh, welcome to the club.
My birthday is March 19th, though. And supposedly I'm a triple Pisces because I have a lot of water and no earth.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I just thought I would share that.
Oh, well, you're super ultra Pisces and then.
Apparently, yes.
You must be extremely creative.
I am. Thank you.
Beautiful.
I'm a lot of things.
What sort of creativity is it? Is it like your standard
Well,
kind of
much like what you do, I'm a natural born psychic and clairvoyant and spiritual medium and a soul historian. That's the work I do. I feel like a guppy on the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of cleaning up work, you might say.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so needs doing. So really needs doing. I love how you said soul historian. That's beautiful.
Yes, that's my mission in this lifetime. It's all about the soul from the work I do.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I enjoy it very much.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I enjoy listening to you. You sound like a very interesting lady.
Thank you. And so do you.
Thank you.
We'll have to connect.
Yes.
It could be Absolutely. Explosive. We could blow up the world or something with our brain power, right? Or our psychic power.
Oh, let me tell you, our brain power and our heart power can be manifesting so much, does manifest so much, that we just focus on that and just let it happen.
That's so true.
Absolutely.
Heart especially, you know, they're saying now the heart's way more powerful than the brain in terms of manifesting.
Absolutely. And Big Will was talking about the Florida thing. I can give everybody my take on it. So
I do believe a bunch of souls, this young bunch of, they're not young souls, they're actually very mature souls, these teenagers in Florida are, and I think that they all come in around the same time to change the world, especially the world of violence.
Mm.
And I send all my energy out to them, and I think that some of them sacrificed, a lot of them that died, was all part of that in their soul's history before they came into the earth, that if this came about, that they were okay with that in order to get the attention of the world, and especially of this country, and I don't think they're going to give up. And I keep putting out that light there, that they don't lose their focus, and they keep fighting because they have the power. A lot of them are going to turn 18, a lot of them are going to vote, and they're going to get a lot of parents who have lost children to vote with them. I hope that that's where my hope is going. That's where my light is going. That's where whatever power I have to infuse it with theirs and just be a voice and continuously fight the naysayers that say, well, they're only children. Well, you know what? The ones that we have in Congress were children at one time, too. And Congress just seems to, for 8 years, they didn't do a whole lot or wouldn't let Obama do a whole lot. They're not able to do a whole lot now either. They just don't seem to be able to find their balls, put them on and do stuff.
Yeah.
They really don't. And money is their God. I mean, money is their God. There's nothing wrong with money. It's how they use it that's the problem.
Yeah.
I would agree with your sentiment about the souls choosing this experience before they came here, because I do believe that. I mean, we don't know that absolutely, but I certainly do believe it. It's the only thing that makes any sense. And I remember when I had this revelation thinking about something that was going on with one of my children, and it was really quite terrifying, and I was just worrying myself sick. And I finally sort of figured out, well, hang on a minute. If I believe that I've chosen my lessons and my life experiences and everything that's happened to me as a part of my education so that I can become what I'm meant to be in this life, I have to believe it about my children as well. And now same with grandchildren too. So when I see them going through really distressing situations, things like, well, doesn't matter what, but just like the scariest things you can think of as a parent, it makes sense that, well, that was their choice too, as souls before they inhabited this particular, or, you know, they came into this incarnation. So that's the only thing that makes any sense to me and allows me to kind of come to terms with some of these things that are happening. And I do believe that, as you kind of said, there's a point to all of these things about awareness. I mean, we've always been barbaric with each other. That goes as far back in human history as there are people. It just changes shape, and it changes in the nature of how it's done. But
right.
that horrific way that we treat people is still, that doesn't change, because people are people are people. However, there is this big cosmic shift going on, and you know, we know something's kind of cooking in terms of a spiritual something, a shakeup, I guess we'll call it that.
Well, Michael the Archangel just came in and said that these are a group of souls that are going to create shape. I mean, they're going to create change. And he also says that he's behind them and he's protecting them. His army is protecting them.
Mm.
And that they're giving them the power and the strength and the foresight not to lose their battle, so to speak. He loves battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
He does. He loves battles. And he has quite a sense of humor, actually, which surprises me. But he said that he's very much behind them. And this is going to definitely make a change, and for all of us to put our energy and our love into that change, because it's only love that's going to do it. Energy and love is going to do it.
Oh, Mina, where are you from?
Ireland.
That's what I thought. So you both have that European connection as well.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, UK.
Well, I only have six sisters and one brother in the UK.
Mm.
So I've been there several times, and I'm going again in May. The youngest in the family is going to be turning 60. So
that's a big event.
We have to go and celebrate her birthday.
Delightful. Any other questions? Anything else you want to share, Omina?
No.
Okay, my dear. Thank you for that. Charm Rama, anything from you this evening?
I want to go back to what that term shake-up. That's been going on with Rama's message getting, you know, for quite a build-up right now, you know, that there's all kinds of galactic beings that are coming in, you know, that are involved in the shake-up. And we'll just say the shake-up, that Nasara word, sister, that you don't know zip about.
No, I avoid the news like the plague. So, I really have no idea.
This wouldn't come from the news. This is not a newsworthy. This is the underground Nasara.
Oh, I see.
Well, see, there's, from a just on the level looking at something practically, there's trouble in paradise. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a very old story. It's, you know, of the royalty and of the relationship to what really is true versus what the propaganda is saying is true. And the media is on the hot seat, and our entire constitution is up for grabs. And, you know, we've got an oligarchy by President Jimmy Carter, I think it was 2009, he said, we don't have a democracy at all anymore. We've got an oligarchy, and that's a former president. And so the shakeup is involved with getting back on track.
Divine government.
Divine government is on the table, and Nasara is involved in that. It's a document that was signed by Bill Clinton into law. And that was before it was on October 10th, 2000. And Bill Clinton signed Nasara as a bill into law. And it has a number.
You know, she deals with personal individuals, questions, things like that, right?
Yeah. But the shakeup is that it's in every personal life. There's something that's shaking the life up in a bigger way than most. You know, it's kind of at a crescendo. Don't you agree?
Well, the energy is definitely speeding up. And that would affect groups and individuals, because they have to get rid of all the crap first before we can get to the real peace, you might say.
Yeah.
It's like I've said before, Trump is a necessary evil.
That's right.
And
he's doing good, and he has no idea. I love it.
Exactly.
He has absolutely no clue that he's actually working for the forces of good, because he's bringing stuff to the surface that people are now having to pay attention to certain issues, because he's being such a pinhead with some of the things that he says and does.
That's his job, and he's doing it very, very well.
But it's so funny that he has no idea. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank God he doesn't have an idea. Can you imagine if he did have one?
Oh, yeah. So
not go there.
I'm Canadian. I'm up here in Canada. You know, I'm Canadian and I'm British, and I don't really have anything to do with too much with whatever. I don't know a lot about even our politics, never mind yours. So, I can, you know, I can certainly just say what I see about him. But anyway, that's sort of well past my
necessary evil.
Yeah,
I love it.
Out of my realm of usefulness in terms of being a psychic medium when we start talking about Donald Trump or politics. I just mean in general.
It's not quite a conversation, regardless of which side you are on. You know, but. Seems like
and Liberty, I call him the grump.
God bless him.
Yeah. God bless him.
Yeah. God bless America. God bless all of us. Canada, everybody. Absolutely. Well, all right. So here we are, everybody, at the top of the hour, just passed. And we don't want to be abusive, Liberty. I've been enjoying you and our first opportunity to learn about who you are. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions to end our time? Unless you can stay a little while longer, I'm just opening up the door to whatever is supposed to happen right now.
I don't have a lot more time. I didn't know that it would be kind of open-ended, so I've got a couple minutes, but I'm going to have to go pretty soon.
Well, it's delightful that you did come in, and hopefully we can have you come back another time and schedule something just to learn more about you. I love your energy. I'm really feeling you. I think we have some things in common that we can talk about on email, I guess.
Thank you. That would be fun. And I'm so seriously so grateful for this opportunity. And I've had such a great time being here. And it was nice to take some questions. And I like having stimulating conversation, even if I have no idea what you're talking about at some points. But anything political, I'm out. I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful.
That's Tara's, Ballywick and Rama. You know, they're big on that, and we learn a lot from them to do with it. But it's not coming from the radio stations. It's not coming from the mass media by any means. It's all spiritual, and it's all about what is coming and how we how we're growing into recognizing what is coming and how we play a part in it. So that's fabulous. But
I love the spiritual shift in people. You know, I love that more and more people are learning about this sort of thing and getting more connected with themselves, because they're understanding that we're spiritual beings having human experience, as, you know, a few people have said. And that's what I'm really enjoying seeing, is how there's, much more awareness of these things, of this aspect of our existence on the planet. So that's wonderful to watch.
Yeah. Oops. So one more time, let's give out the information, Liberty, for anybody that wants to contact you for a session or learn more about you. Let's hear about it one more time so that we can make sure that everybody captures the information.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, the website is yourstoryofhope.com, and you can email me at info@yourstoryofhope.com if you're interested in booking something. Actually, there are booking links on the website if anybody's interested. It will show you my various services, because I've got a bunch with numerology and hypnosis and homeopathy and guidance and psychic development and whatever else. So they can pick what they want and carry straight through to booking a time that works for them.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And you can also connect with her, everybody, at Huffington Post or Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. We're talking to Liberty Forrest in Canada, and deeply grateful for your giving your time and energy to us this evening. We thank you.
Well, I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity. So thank you ever so much. And I really enjoyed having a chat with everyone today. Thank you.
Thank you again, another time, my dear.
That'd be lovely.
Yes, Liberty, you're welcome back at any time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liberty, for sharing some pretty deep experiences through your life. My goodness.
Well, thank you for saying so. It's my pleasure. You know, that's, we're all in this together. And I think if we share the deepest parts of who we are, that's what connects us the most. And I think that's what this is supposed to all be about. We're supposed to be connected. I mean, we are connected, but it's acknowledging it and feeling it that's so important. And that's what I think causes even bigger shifts in the world.
Yeah.
I agree. It was really, really nice talking to you and listening to you. And I'm going to say good night to everyone now.
Because good night,
it's,
here,
it's after 11 o'clock for me. Good night.
It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Good night, Omina.
Good night.
Good night, Omina. Love you more.
Love you too.
Love you
Thank
more.
You.
Put your red dress on, Omina.
Oh, absolutely. Next time I dream about Trump, I'm wearing my red dress.
You do that. You do that.
Well, you're in a couple of weeks, but Omina, you're going to have to wear a green dress.
Well, that's all. Yeah. Well, that's the last time I had Trump in my dream, I had my green dress on. So maybe it'll happen again. Who knows? We'll see. I'm waiting to see.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this concludes our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. And we thank you, audience, for spending your evening with us. And we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. God bless everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Bye.
Maestro, music.